Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Road man, love, take me on through, mama. Road man, love, take me down through, mama. Road man.
there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I's, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Dave with Redneck and I's Radio. Appreciate everybody along here. We're just getting some technical difficulties worked out. Computers got to be reset and all this kind of stuff. But anyway, we're getting things done here. Appreciate everybody following along. You can call in 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one. I'd like to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's LTR Transportation. You can check them out at, well, it's Load to Ride Transportation. It's, the website is ltrtransportation.com. Appreciate all their support, and I hope they're having a great time out there. So this is All Things Trucking and Then Some, Redneck and I's Radio Live, and we're just talking about issues in the trucking industry and, you know, of course, what's going on in the world and everything like that. And, of course, I ain't got to tell nobody that if you have been under a rock and you don't know, there was elections last week. We took a little break here, had a little vacation time and everything. So we're getting back to it. And you know, it's a good thing, too, because nobody knew what was going on in the elections until today, pretty much. I mean, everything is just crazy over there. You know, if you play the lotto, the drawings are like around, what, 10 o'clock, the local time, whatever the time is. Maybe it's 11. East Coast time or something like that. And by, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, they know exactly what store sold the winning ticket and everything. And so, you know, they know all that, you know, but we can't get our elections figured out for a week or two. If you have ever watched like these American Idol shows and all that, they, at one point it was like a call-in deal where you can call in and vote, and they could take vote counts during the commercial break and have everything figured out by the time they come back from commercial and know who the winners are. Yet it takes over a couple of weeks. They don't even know. I mean, they're still not done counting. They projected based off of, you know, amount of people that voted in the past and all that. You know, you got these experts and all that stuff. So, you know, the politicians haven't conceded. I don't even think the governor race in Arizona is even done yet. They're not even, nobody's announcing anything, and that's just crazy, you know. So I don't know, I think something's up, and it's not a big thing, you know. A lot of people, you're election denier and all this, and I think the politicians, they do a piss poor job. The only one that's really laying things out is that governor of Arizona, because she keeps going at them with everything, but still they won't let her talk. You know, it's one of those things where if just take notice, okay, take notice of this, watch the news, okay. And when they bring up her election-denying rhetoric, like, they'll bring it up, but they won't play her saying exactly what she's been saying. There was an interview she did with, I think, This Week on ABC, one of the Sunday shows. And the funny thing is that she was trying to point out some details of why there are concerns with the voting because of certain ballots not counted. Places closing, staying open late, closing early, mail-in ballots, all that stuff. And they refuse to hear that. They don't want to hear that. Are you denying the election? They just want her to say yes on denying the election. And she just says, well, there's questions that need to be answered. And they're like, so you're denying the election. And that's, I mean, they're not really focused on the details. And I think that she's trying to do the details. And I think that I wouldn't never, ever admit, like, you know, I would say, just like she says, you know, there's issues. There's issues. People have lost faith. And that's what I would say. As a politician, you'd come out there and you'd say, it's not me that thinks that the elections are rigged. It's the people that are voting for me. They're the ones who think the elections are rigged. You know, so that's the point. That's what you would say as a politician, is it's not me. You know, it's not the leader, it's not the person running for governor, or person running for president, or person running for senator, or whatever. Just say it's not me that thinks that. It's the people that come up and talk to me. It's those people. Now, I can tell them all. You know, and a lot of them I've just told all day in, day out, they ain't nothing. Everything's fine. And they're just like, no, it's not. You know, when it takes 2 weeks to figure out a winner, you know, because your machines broke down, and we hear all these reports now of, like, you know, the machines going down, and then the tally, you know, when they have the printed deals are not printed right. Everybody got a mail-in vote. You know, they got a mailer to send in, but yet nobody asked for one, that kind of stuff. It's not right. you know, to have these kind of deals going on. And then there's questions about the whole ballot harvesting thing where they were putting in drop boxes because nobody wanted to get COVID. So they had drop boxes. And even that raises a lot of questions because, you know, this, I don't know if you guys saw the movie, 2000 Mules. It was that, what was it called? Dinesh D'Souza. Is that his name? I don't know. He's an Indian immigrant from India. I think he spent most of his life here in the United States, if not born in the United States, but his family's, you know, from India. And he just goes and says, you know, he lays it all out. And of course he does this documentary, talking about the ballot harvesting. And yeah, there are some questions, you know, I mean, what I do is I try to listen to everybody that talks about it. And the cool part about that documentary, if you watch it, if you get a chance to ever see it, it's really good because what the cool part is they bring in a lot of these commentators that, Larry Elder, what's his name? Sebastian Gorka. Charlie Kirk, and then they bring in Dennis Prager. Now, Dennis Prager is really good in that because he is like a devil's advocate the whole time. He's like that. I still got a question. And they're like, great. That's what we want. We want questions. You know, and to me, every time you try to point out any kind of problems with that on the Democrat side, they're like, oh, you're crazy. You're crazy. And it's like, no, we should be answering these questions. That's above and above. You know, that's what we should be doing is answering the questions. So, the thing what I would do is I would say it's not widespread, like the guy running for governor or the lady running for Senate that you think is the cheated race, like the one in Nevada is a good point. The guy was the Republican was leading up until the last minute. And then they said, no, she's going to win. They kept counting votes. And then she came out on top. Okay. Now, I'm not saying that she cheated. I'm not saying that, you know, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton called them up and said, let's cheat. That's not happening, okay? The one thing I'll tell you about Democrats is they are extremely loyal. And all of these people that are diehard liberal Democrats that work in these offices, that work, it's the deep state kind of thing, okay? They never get told to cheat. They never get told we need to make sure this person wins. They never get told that. That's what they always want to do. They're going to do it. And they've been doing that job for so long that they know how to cover up. They know how to work the books. Okay. I'll tell you this secret. When you work in an office, anybody that's working in an office, they know, okay. You work in an office, work in a bank, you work in a lawyer's office, whatever. There are rules about documents. And a lot of these big corporations, they put in redundant systems to prevent any kind of fraud or abuse or any kind, you know, they want their asses covered, right? So if you're going to file a document, like sign a piece of paper acknowledging something and all that, okay, in the trucking industry, the one thing I know about is documentation when it comes to hiring the driver, comes to firing the driver, or when it comes to training the driver, okay? Any kind of documentation that the company needs to put in its file to make sure that the driver has accomplished its, you know, its role, like has the driver been to a safety class? Has the driver been trained properly? What has the driver done to deserve to be fired? Because when he files for unemployment, we need to have cause for firing the driver. And they're going to make sure that the paperwork is in order, okay? Doesn't even matter what actually happened. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if the driver's been properly trained. Doesn't matter if the driver's been properly, scrutinized for their mistakes, okay? A guy, he can mess up one time or two times. And, okay, let's, you know, just kind of like in the military. If you've been in the system before, if you've ever been in the supervisory positions before, you got a guy underneath you messes up. Okay? They need to be reprimanded, right? What if you don't reprimand them? What if you just have a little talking to? You don't have any documentation backing up that was a talking to. You never ever had any kind of, you know, signed document saying, yes, I did have a talking to. Okay? They just have talking to. The next time you have a talking to, but then you put a piece of paper down, okay? So a lot of these companies, they have a three-strike rule. But as a supervisor, you let the first strike slide. You don't document it. So then when the third strike, technically the third strike comes around and the person messes up for the third time, you technically can't fire them because the third strike rule has yet to be met, okay? So your boss comes in and says he messed up for the third time, he should be fired. And unless you stand up and say, well, I let the first one go, and then you get reprimanded for letting the first one go, if that's not the policy or if that's not the agreement you had between, you know, a lot of times it's like, you know, your boss knows, hey, I let that first one go. And you tell the boss, hey, I let that first one go. And the boss knows that. But if you're trying to skate one under the rug and you say, well, this guy's a good guy, I'm not going to get him in trouble, then you're not going to say nothing because you're just trying to say, you know, well, all these other guys, they're a piece of crap, but this guy, he's a good guy. I'm not going to give him that first strike. So then it comes down the pipe and the third strike gets met, but no paperwork has been done. So technically he can't be fired under this big corporation that has a three strike policy. So your boss says he needs to be fired. If you don't have the balls to say, well, that I let the first one go. If you say, yes, sir, that's the third strike. Yes, sir, you're right. So what are you going to do now? You got to fire the guy. But technically the third strike rule hasn't been met. So what are you going to do? You know what people do? They'll go back and they'll write up the first strike. And they'll date it back to the day that the first strike happened, and they'll sign it, and they'll even doctor it. Maybe the driver has to sign it, or the employee, whoever it is. You know, I've seen it done in the military. You know, where they say, well, just, you know, copy his signature on there, and that's the first strike. Okay, so, and you think, well, that can't be done that often. It probably isn't done that often, but often enough that it becomes a problem. And that's what I'm saying. In the election process, they don't do very many. They don't cheat very often. And they don't cheat very much. It's not like they're trying to put in, but they just, you know, every so often, all they got to do is throw in a few hundred votes here and there. And you get enough people to do that. And you get enough people to look the other way. And next thing you know, I mean, look how close these elections are coming now, you know? And I said it back in 2020 when Georgia was doing theirs and they couldn't finish their counting because Atlanta wasn't done counting yet. But all the other counties outside of the city of Atlanta were done counting. And the inner city areas weren't done counting yet. I told everybody. I said, they're going through there trying to find votes. And it's not the big dogs. It's not the powers that be. It's the little peons down there counting votes. They're the ones. And they're like, you know, hey, our guy's losing. We can't have this. You know, we need our guy to win. You know, and you're thinking, you know, well, if that's the case, then why didn't Stacey Abrams win? And it was one of those things where they can't cheat that much. They know they've been doing that job long enough. It's like I can add a few hundred, maybe in a few thousand, but once we get to a certain point, I mean, what I'm saying is that Stacey Abrams, I bet you that she probably really lost by, you know, the same amount she did this past time around, but they couldn't get it across the board the first time. They just didn't have the numbers. So what I say is that all of these little districts out there, they need to stop reporting their totals so early. They need to stop that. And what needs to happen is that when, you know how when they're saying, oh, 92% of the votes coming in or 70% of the votes coming in. No, nobody knows. Nobody knows the totals until it's all done. Because once these totals get announced, each district, you know, it's kind of like a public deal. Like, I guess the news can go on a website that they only have access to, or anybody can go in there and it's a public record kind of thing. So like, well, we're done counting and this person won this county. We're done counting and this person won this county. And everybody's trying to add them up and do all that to themselves. And the other counties aren't done counting yet. Well, those other counties, depending on what counties they pull for, those are the counties that are saying, hey, how many did they report? Okay, so they reported so many thousand votes, and what do we need? We need another thousand on top of what we got. You know, they know how many they need because we're reporting everything. So all they got to do is turn on CNN or Fox News, and they know that the how many thousands of votes have been reported. See, like right now, I'm looking at it right now, Arizona governor, I guess it still ain't been called, 50.5% to the Democrat and 49.5%. And they don't have differences, 1.213 and 1.188. So 20, 30,000 votes is what separates the total. 213, 188, 88, what is that? That's 12. Yeah, 25,000 votes. That's what separates it. So, and that's, I mean, that's all you need, you know? And I'm saying what they're doing is that all they got to do is, and, you know, right there, is they even say they're not even done counting. It's at 92% done. Now, come on, we know. You know, once it got to that point, to where the Democrat was going to be in front, they're done counting. They're not going to, you know, as long as the Republican keeps like contesting, then they'll never officially announce a winner. And they love that. And then the powers that be, you know, like I said, they didn't have nothing to do with the cheating. They're not doing that. But what they're doing is they love it when the Republican candidate fights. Like when Donald Trump fought for his election, the Democrats loved it because all they did was is that they went out there and he just looked like an idiot because, you know, they were out there on the press conferences saying one thing, and then when they'd go in the court, they'd say completely they didn't contest anything. You know, they were just saying, well, you know, these guys here, they're not done counting yet. And these guys over here say they're not done counting yet. And these guys over here say they're done counting, but then next thing you know, they're not done. I mean, they were just, and it was all legal. You know, nobody ever said it was illegal. And the problem is that during COVID, you had a lot of people say that, hey, you know, we need to allow this ballot harvesting. We need to allow the mail-in voting and all that. And there were videos. If you go in and watch it, I mean, it was funny. Even ABC News was putting it out there. There was a video out where this woman, they said she's doing the Lord's work. I mean, they were just saying that. She said that. I'm doing the Lord's work. I'm going from house to house, knocking on doors, making sure people fill out their mail-in ballots. And so you got these poor elderly people that had no idea they got a ballot sent to them because they didn't ask for it. They're not expecting it in the mail. You know, it's sitting in their pile of mail. And she goes and she says, yeah, there it is right there. She goes, have you filled that out yet? And they're like, no, I haven't filled that out yet. Well, you need to, because that's you know, that's how we're voting. You know, this was in Pennsylvania, I think. And she was going house to house, and she's like, well, let me help you. She said, let me help you. And she was basically writing everything in the envelope. All they had to do was sign it, and she was filling it out. So what she was doing is she was filling it out on, and they were signing it, and they were like, yeah. You know, that's what you got. You got to help them. You know, people need help. People deserve to vote, and they need help. Well, she was basically filling in all the Democrats and all that, and said, no, you know, just sign here. Everything's done. That ain't right. If you can't fill it all out yourself, then it shouldn't be filled out. It shouldn't be done. The View, lady on The View, said it was a problem for her friend to vote in Texas. Now, I voted in Texas, and I agree. This used to be a thing, and it's not a thing anymore. Used to be when you went on the computer in Texas, when it first started voting, like the first page come up and says, you want to vote all Democrat, all Republican. And you hit the button, and everything that was RD, you got voted whatever you picked. And then anything that wasn't like that, like all the local races don't have any party affiliates. So when you're voting for city council members and school board members, there's no RDs next to their names. So you got to go and do those. But she said it was a problem because her friend wanted to vote all Democrat, and that wasn't a choice this year. She had to go through each race and pick the candidates. Well, guess what? Every time you looked at it, there was an R or a D next to that name. So if you wanted to vote all Democrat, you need to vote this Democrat, next this Democrat, next this Democrat. You can do that. You know, basically that's what I did. I went on and said Republican. Okay, next. Okay, that's a Republican. Next. That's what I did, you know. And then when it wasn't, you had to know, you know. Well, the reason why they changed that was because a lot of people were saying that they voted, because some machines would print out what you voted for, and some machines just printed out a receipt saying you voted. So when they would print out, the actual ballot would print who you selected, and then you submitted that as a receipt or I don't know what it was, but they said they hit all Republican, and then when the thing printed, all the Republicans didn't get vote. There were some that were Democrat got votes, and they said that's not fair. So they took that out. They said no, you got to vote for, you got to hit the buttons for all of the different individuals. You can't just select one party. Well, the lady on The View said that's not right. You should be able to select one party if you want to, you know. And it's like, process. If you think the right to vote is so precious, then doing the hard work is required. Just like school, okay. If you think being a doctor is so valuable, then 6 to 8 years of school is required to be a good doctor, because you're going to get paid a lot. Being a lawyer, if you think being a lawyer is so important, then, 6 to 8 years of going to school is necessary. You know, that kind of thing. You know, being an engineer, all that kind of stuff. Right? Getting trained properly as a truck driver. If you think it's important to get trained, then you need to get trained right. So if you're going to vote and you're thinking, well, it's too hard, it should be easier to vote. No, voting should be hard. If it's that important, it should be difficult. If it's that important, it should be important enough to make sure that you are a person who you say you are, that you live where you say you live, you're a citizen or resident or whoever you say you are. You've got to prove who you are, and you've got to show up, and you've got to know the candidates who you're voting for. If you say you want to do a Republican-Democrat straight, go through there and look at all the Republicans, look at all the Democrats, whatever you want to do. You know, some of them aren't affiliated. Some are independents. You know, people that I knew, if I knew them and they were independent, that's who I wanted, that's who I picked. That kind of thing. So it's pain in the ass when people say, oh, it's too hard to vote. Well, it's supposed to be. Okay, if it's important, it's supposed to be hard. What'd Jesus say? I didn't say it would be easy. I just said it would be worth it. And that's the whole thing, is if it's worth it, then you'll do the hard work. If you don't want to put the time in to go vote, then don't vote. Then it doesn't matter to you. So, yeah. But that's kind of stuff we talk about on here, Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're all here. Check us out, redneckandeyes.com. We got a YouTube channel, too. Appreciate everybody joining us along there. Go sign up for our YouTube channel, Redneck and Eyes. You can see redneckandeyes.com is the website where all our stuff is located at. So check that out. And like I said, we're here every weeknight, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. And we're going to change the subject maybe and check out on a few things. So check us out. So like I said, redneckandeyes.com. Thank one of our great sponsors at DPF Regeneration. Go check them out at dpfregeneration.com. We'll see you guys in a bit. Well, if I can keep it on the ground, Texas bound, let it fly. I got my 10 in the wind, let it all hang out again. Well, how you gonna win if you ain't trying? Well, now we're all back together, and we're burning up the road. And that old sheriff's out there dogging us again. He thinks he's really got it cooking, plans to do a lot of booking. The only trouble, he keeps looking where we've already been. So if I can keep it on the ground, that hammer down, and I'll be Texas bound and I'm flying. Well, if I can keep it on the ground when I put that hammer down, then I'll be Texas bound and I'm flying. I got my tin in the wind, let it all hang out again. Well, how you gonna win if you ain't trying? Now, Smokey and the Bandit is a tale you don't forget. Cause every time you hear an engine scream and whine, well, you have to think about Old Man, Old Buford, Frog, and Fred the Snowman. Their story is a legend that will live on in time. So if I can keep it on the ground when I put that hammer down, I'll be Texas bound and a flying.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here back live. We're also on YouTube Live. We'll cut that down there a little bit. We're also on YouTube Live. Appreciate everybody joining along. Follow us along there, 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one. And like I said, we're just talking about the elections and everything going on with that. And then I was looking at trucking news, see how that's going out. And, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? Ain't much going on out there. Everybody's getting ready for the holidays. And so, not really too many inspections going on this time of year because, like I said, cops don't want to inspect while the holidays are going on, nothing like that. So what are you going to do? You're going to get home and everybody's going to get to, like, a lot of these companies now, if you're a company driver or an owner-operator leased or whatever, they're trying to say get drivers home more, during, especially during the holidays. And that's one of the big deals that I see out there a lot of times. So if you're able to get home, you know, hey, that's what you do. You got to get home. That's great. And, trying to get stuff going back here. Yeah, but yeah, that's what we do. And like I said, appreciate people following along with Redneck and I's Radio here. We're live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. It's 515-602-9731. Be a part of the conversation. Just hit one. We're also on the internet. We got redneckandeyes.com, where you can find links to all of our social media. We've got Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter. Looking forward to getting on Twitter more as soon as they get all that worked out over there. But, you know, it seems like they're taking over stuff, but people are still fighting about it. So, I don't know, it might be a great thing. I was thinking about buying some when he's going to put it back on the market, you know, and just buy. I thought about buying Twitter stock back when it was going, doing that. But as soon as they announced it, the price jumped. So it's like it wasn't worth it to get into it as soon as he announced. So if you didn't know he was going to announce beforehand, you know, then you get into it late and you don't make any money. But if you were buying Twitter stock and then he announced, you just made money. So it was a great thing. But other than that, just get on there. But yeah, just like I said, we're just hanging out here and wishing everybody a happy Thanksgiving. It's the time of year that you're supposed to get out your Christmas decorations now. You don't put them up until after, that's what Friday after, you know, Black Friday didn't start. Like when I was growing up, when I was a kid, there was no Black Friday. You know, it's just like when your parents, you know, anybody that's my age now, all their parents, you talk about none of the stores were open on Sundays. Everything was closed. On holidays, everything was closed. You know, when I was growing up, there were very few places open on Thanksgiving Day. Some of the, even the convenience stores, a lot of them closed on Thanksgiving Day. And on Friday after Thanksgiving, some of the places were still like Sunday hours. Like they didn't open until noon and they closed at 6, you know, on Friday, the day after. And that when I was growing up, so Friday was still a holiday. Of course, kids were out of school. That's the thing too. We went to school. Nowadays, kids are getting the whole week off. Thanksgiving week, they get the whole week off. Used to, we went to school Monday and Tuesday, and we had like a early out on Wednesday. And then you got Thursday, Friday off. You got a 4-day weekend. So Friday, because the kids were out of school, and a lot of the businesses, if you were working in a regular business office or anything, then you had Friday off too. Or a lot of times, you know, I think a lot of times my mother, she would have to go into work, but she was, you know, like you go into work at 9 and you get off at like 2 or 3, you know. But anyway, Friday was the day we put out decorations. Friday and Saturday, you put out decorations, you know. And if you lived in Texas like I did and you watched the Cowboys on Thursday, you had all weekend because, you know, you watched football on Sunday, but the Cowboys weren't on. So if you weren't really invested in the football that much, then there's no football to watch on Sunday because the Cowboys already played Thursday. So you had all weekend to put your Christmas stuff out. And that was, you know, that was pretty much what we did. We still watch football, though. Football's great. It's a lot of fun. This weekend was a lot of fun, some football. I watched a couple of the early games. The Cowboy game, I just don't have any. Everybody out there, you know, there's a huge diehard Cowboy fans. I talked to this one truck driver a while back. He was a Green Bay Packer fan. Maybe he was a Viking fan. I can't remember. His team sucked. And he was like, I know they suck. Kind of like that. And the funny thing is that he's like, you know, the Cowboy fans are so funny. The team, year to year, never really makes any huge changes during the offseason. But you still approach the season like you're going to win the Super Bowl every year. And he's right. There's so many people. They're like, we're going to, you know. I was like, okay, first off, you know, people are like, oh, Zeke Elliott, he's a great running back. No, he's not. He's great, but there's nobody telling him to work. He doesn't work. You know, if he's able to grind down the defense, then he should be able to do that, but he doesn't. He sits on the sideline. He sat out this game. You know, I wasn't even paying close attention. Kind of had it on the background while we were hanging out with friends. You know, that kind of thing. But it pisses me off that they've got great players. They've got some good coaches. But there's nobody motivating them to play good. Nobody cares. Why would if you were the owner of the Cowboys, why would you care if your team was good or not? Why would you care? You make more money. Your team, your franchise, makes more money in revenue every year than any other team in the world. Any other team, sports franchise in the world. Okay, it came out like maybe 3 or 4 years ago that they now surpassed Manchester United as the most profitable franchise, sports franchise in the world. They make more money. Even on those years, remember those years when the Cowboys were like, you know, 6-10 or 4-11 or whatever it was, 5-11. They had losing records, okay? But still, the next season, they still were on prime time more than most of the teams. They had Sunday night game. They had Thursday night game. They had, you know, in fact, I remember when the Cowboys had, you know, what they did was is they started this flex thing. So what they did was is in the NFL, they had a deal where, you're going to have a Sunday night game, right? Well, what they would do is they wouldn't announce who's playing Sunday night until the week before, because that way what they said was, okay, we want to pick a good matchup. If there was a good matchup, if we knew that two teams that were, you know, going to be in the playoffs and they were good, they were both, you know, needing a win and all that. So they would do that. They would change it up. Even 1 year when the Cowboys were kind of in the running, they did that. The Cowboys played a primetime game. Of course, so at one point they had a really good team. They were doing really well. They played Thursday, which everybody watched. Then they played next Thursday, which everybody watched. And then they played the next Monday night on primetime, which everybody watched. And then because they were playing well and because they were playing another team that's playing well, they changed the next game to a Sunday night game. So they had four games in a row where they were nationally televised. You know, they were the only game on at that time. Four in a row. 1 year, they weren't playing that good. I think it was the next year or the year after, maybe 2 years after this 1 year. They weren't really that good. They were scheduled to play on a Sunday night in December. And everybody announced, you know, everybody saw that, you know, it's a flex schedule and all that. They got picked because they were playing a playoff team. Now, there were other games going on between two playoff teams. Okay? There was, you know, you had other games where you had a winning record team and a winning record team going at each other, you know, rivalry, whatever. Sunday night would have been great for them to play that game. They didn't get chosen. It was the Cowboys with a losing record playing another team with a winning record. And that's the reason. They know people are going to watch them. People are going to watch the Cowboys all over the country. People watch the Cowboys and they make money. They make money. So why would you care if they won like they did, like they used to? Why would you care? You know, it's Tom Landry built it. Tex Ram, the original general manager back in the day, they built it. They created the term America's team was coined by Tex Ram because at the time he was winning and he had a war hero, Naval Academy graduate, Heisman Trophy winner, national championship quarterback, Roger Staubach, playing for the Dallas Cowboys, that he called it America's team. And everybody loved it because, hey, when you got a naval officer, Annapolis graduate, playing football for you, you are America's team, especially in the 70s, right? And he coined it. And, I mean, it stuck because guess what? They won. Tom Landry, to this day, still has the most record, the biggest record of all, which is the 20 consecutive winning seasons, winning record. So that means that they did not have a losing record for 20 years. That's never been done. I think Belichick might be coming up on that because he did have like an 7-9 year, something like that. But I mean, Belichick's probably the only one that's come close, or if not, has already done it. Possibly. I'm not real sure. I haven't looked in a while. I remember when they did that, I went and did all the math. I went down there and I looked it all up, and it was close. At that time, he was doing like, you know, 16, 17. So yeah. But, you know, they did it. And now, why would you care? You're making money now. And that's, I got an uncle. He's not a very big Cowboy fan. He grew up in Texas. He grew up in the Dallas area. He lives in the Dallas area. And he thought Jerry Jones was punk. He don't care too much about it. So he gave up on him. And he pulls against him because he couldn't stand it. And I agree now. I used to say, who cares? Let's win. But now we're not winning. So, I couldn't care less. I couldn't care less if the Chinese owned the Cowboys as long as we were winning, but we're not. And so, that's what you get for letting somebody from Arkansas buy the Dallas Cowboys. So, yeah, what'd you do this weekend? Let me know, 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit 1. Again, that's 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit 1. Check us out, redneckandeyes.com. You can go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. We're on YouTube Live right now. We're on YouTube Live pretty much every time unless we can't get the internet working. But just like I said, give us a call, 515-602-9731. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio, and we'll be going around here. We got about 10 minutes left, so we'll see you in a bit.
Lots of rolling wheels and shifting gears around that Jersey Turnpike. Barney stopped me with his gun 10 minutes after midnight. Said, sir, you broke the lemon and hit the rusty old truck. I don't know about that accent, son. Just where did you come from? I said, where I come from, it's cornbread and chicken. Where I come from, a lot of front porch sitting. Where I come from, trying to make a living, working hard to get to heaven. Where I come from, I south of Detroit City, pulled in this country kitchen. Try their brand of barbecue, signs it finger licking. I paid the tab and the lady asked me how'd I like my biscuit. I'll be honest with you, man, it ain't like mama fixed it. Cause where I come from, it's cornbread and chicken. Where I come from, a lot of front porch picking. Where I come from, trying to make a living and working hard to get to heaven. Where I come from. I was chasing sun on 101 somewhere around Ventura. I lost a universal joint and I had to use my finger. This tall lady stopped and asked if I had plans for dinner. Said, no thanks, ma'am. Back home, we like the girls that sing soprano. Cause where I come from, it's cornbread and chicken. Where I come from, a lot of front porch sitting. Where I come from, trying to make a living and working hard to get to heaven. Where I come from. I was heading home on 65 somewhere around Kentucky. And the CB rang, the bobtail rig, it's rolling on like thunder. Well, I answered him and he asked me, aren't you from out in Tulsa? No, but you might have seen me there, just dropped a load of salsa. Where I come from, it's cornbread and chicken.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneck and Eyes. Redneck and Eyes, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Hey, pretty baby, are you ready for me? Yeah, it's good rockin' daddy down from Tennessee. I'm just that awesome about with Santa's tone, with the radio blasting and the bird dog on. There's a sea trap over my head, sound the town, no local yoga gonna shut
me down. Me and my boys got this rig unwound, and we'll come about a mile from a guitar
band. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Dave with Redneck and Eyes Radio. Appreciate everybody listening along. Check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Give us a call, 515-602-9731. Appreciate it, living long. I got a number coming up here. Let's see, you take a look at who this is here. Hey, you're on hold. What's up?
Hey, man. Hey, I was calling in to argue with you about, you know, some of the Republican stuff. But, dude, hey, who is that? Who sings that song, man? I ain't even going to lie. That country dude is spitting. Who is that?
Which one? Which one? The one I just got done doing? This one,
yeah,
right here?
Whatever that was. Nah. You said where I come from.
Where I come from, that's Alan Jackson.
Bread and chicken.
Yeah, that's Alan Jackson. That's
I ain't even
going
to lie, dude.
Right there,
I'm going to look that up, man.
he said back home we like our boys to sing soprano.
That thing go hard, man. I ain't even going to lie to you. I was like, what the hell? Who is that? Okay, I'm going to look that up, man. But, yeah, man,
what you got going on? Let me know.
Oh, for sure. So I guess you're having a bad weekend, huh? Had a bad weekend.
Well, you know, hey, when the Republicans sit there and cry about all of their problems that they got, and it's just people didn't show up, you know, and people didn't show up because they're sick and tired of this bickering. They're sick and tired of these people, you know. I mean, like the election thing. I mean, I think there are questions, but when all these candidates do is get out there and talk about the election and talk about you know, how bad the Democrats are, that's not, you know, I mean, you look at the guys who won, and the guys who won, all they did was they just did their job, you know.
Yeah, but you can't say when I lose, they cheated, but when I win, everything is good, though. Like, you know what I'm saying?
No, I totally agree with that. No, and that's what I mean, so what I do is I think that the when Republicans are winning, I think that it's more or less they're just getting blown away. I think that, like, I think you heard me earlier. I think I talked about how Stacey Abrams almost won in the governor race back the first time. She like barely lost, you know, but she still lost. I think that they probably tried to get her. I mean, I'm not saying it's the powers that be. I'm saying it's the little peons, the little people that work in the offices. They were like, hey, the Republican Party doesn't like us. They want to get rid of us because they want to cut spending. But the Democrats, they love spending money and they keep giving us raises. So we need to get them in office. And I mean, we see it all the time now. That's what
my brother.
That's what I think.
Do you think billionaires who spend money, hundreds of millions of dollars on elections, you think they're going to allow some local poll worker to cheat them out of something they're spending billions on ad buys, flyers, the super PAC money for commercials and everything? Like, no,
well,
brother. People just lost.
That's what I'm saying.
No,
the
just hear me out. Hear me out for one second.
Some billionaires love it. They love that.
Well, not people who are putting their money on the line. Go look up the funding for Republicans and funding for Democrats. These are multi-billionaires. None of these people would be throwing their money into something that they knew was rigged or fixed, man. These people are just losing. Republicans, right now, they don't have a platform to give people a reason to vote for them. You can't just always be about other guy and saying they did this, that, and the third. You can't tell old people you're going to take away Social Security. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't tell old people stuff like that, man.
Wrong thing. No Republican has ever said that. No Republican has ever said they're going to, no, they didn't. Show me. Point it.
How much you want to bet? If me and you Google that right now, in real time,
right now,
we can find
it. Now,
right now.
Google,
me and you both right now.
How many Republicans have said that? And I'll tell you right now, you show me the video, and I'll believe you, but there's no video saying they ever said that.
You can find it on video too, brother. We can both Google it right now.
Yeah.
It'll come up. I'm telling you.
I'm telling you. No Republican has ever said that. Like, even Donald Trump. Donald Trump does not want to get rid of Social Security at all. He loves Social Security.
No, he never said that.
Yeah.
But they did.
And then, but I'll tell you this. I'll say this to you. Okay. I'm a guy right here. Mm-hmm. I vote Republican. Good. I'll tell you this. Social Security is dying. It's going to die. It's dead. There is not enough money.
Hold on. You do understand in the Vietnam War, they made a provision where they could take money out of Social Security. Social Security would be fine. They just got to stop taking their damn fingers and leave it alone. That was the year they legalized. You can look this up. It's under Johnson. They made it to where they could dip into the Social Security budget and use it. Well, FDR is who came up with it. It's from the New Deal. But they made it to where they can dip into it and borrow money from Social Security fund, and then they turn around and say, well, Social Security is underfunded. Well, stop borrowing money from it.
That FDR said the same thing. FDR said, yes, I'm going to take this money and I'm going to put it up for you. And he was telling the people that all the time. That everybody loved it. New Deal, we're going to have Social Security. The same time he was doing that, he went to the Supreme Court and said, that's a tax. I should be able to spend it as I want it. He was doing that, and FDR did that. It wasn't even FDR was
I'm listening.
FDR is like all the others. He wasn't a big badass like everybody says he is.
No, there's a lot of blame for him for the war. There's a lot of blame for him for the situation with Japan. There's a lot to blame him for. But with Social Security, you got to remember one thing. Go look up the amount of suicide from senior citizens pre Social Security and post Social Security. It gave people the ability to live with some dignity at the end of their lives because they had some money that they could use. Because basically, the people whose kids couldn't take care of them, man, they were messed. They were in a bad way. A lot of those people were killing themselves way back in the day, dude. That's why Social Security actually exists. This is one of the better programs we've ever come up with in this country.
But again, you can look this up.
It's not. It's solvent until 2070. And it'll be even more solvent if they stop borrowing money from it and just leave it alone.
There ain't no politician not going to do that. Ain't no political official ever going to stop borrowing from Social Security.
Well, you know who said he would. You know who proposed it. That guy the Democrats hate so much, Bernie Sanders. He tried to do it, and they ran him out of there.
How's he going to do that? How's he going to sustain a living wage? What did he call that? Like the income
living wage. That's it.
Yeah. Everybody gets $1,000 a month or whatever, you know, to pay for essentials and everything.
No, he wasn't a part of that. You talking about, what's the Asian guy? What was his name? That was the Asian guy. Bernie was the Social Security guy.
Yang.
That's the one who was
Andrew Yang. Yeah, he said that. But that's the thing is that the whole process of paying for everything, because that's what it is. You want national health care, okay? All of these European countries that have universal health care, their tax rates for everybody is around 40% to 60%. Everybody has to pay high taxes. You can't pay 10% or 15%.
They're just not listed as taxes. You pay it in car insurance. You pay it in other ways, sales tax and everything else. They do a VAT tax. They don't do all the stuff we do. We got the same tax rate. We just itemize it differently, so they kind of trick us into thinking we're not paying high taxes.
But when I pay sales tax, it doesn't go to the federal government. It goes to the state government. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the state government, what are they paying for? They're not paying for Social Security.
No. Social Security, like I said, is solvent. Social Security is fine. It's just they're dipping into it. If they stop dipping into it, it'll be fine. Because every generation is still paying on it right now. Even the Gen Z kids who just first time voting this time, they're paying into Social Security with their first job.
Like I said, you're saying Bernie Sanders is going to stop borrowing from it, but with all the other spending, he can't do it. He can't do that.
Why wouldn't he stop borrowing from it?
Because where do you think the money comes from?
Oh, easy.
What are you talking about? In order for you to pay for all that stuff, you slash 10%
from the DOD, everything is paid for. All of our money goes to the DOD, bro.
Well, yeah, I know that. Yeah, all the money goes to the DOD.
That's all our money.
We're the protectors of the world. If you slash 10% from the DOD, then next thing you know, China's taking over. Next thing you know, Russia's taking over. I mean, right now, that's what they're trying to do.
That's what they like to tell us in order to justify the spending of it. But if we're honest about it, we can all understand that there are world powers and they bully their neighbors, and we're one of those world powers. So it is what it is, man. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's the thing.
Whether we spend all our money on it or not.
I would rather be the guy with the big guy with the big yard with the big guns instead of the little guy. That's what I'd rather
be. Yeah, but we spend more than the top other 10 combined. So shaving that 10% is not going to put us in equal footing. We're still look at Russia struggling to beat up Ukraine right now. They ain't nowhere near us as far as military capacity.
But why do you think they're struggling? Are they struggling because we're funding Ukraine? Or are they struggling because Ukraine's kicking their ass? They're struggling because
we're funding
Ukraine. Right. So if we stop that, then Russia would win.
Mm-hmm.
So if you went down there to the generals right now and said we're cutting 10%, where do you think the first 10% is going to get cut?
Well, the first thing is you go down there and say that, you're probably going to end up in a body bag. But the thing is, should be done. They will get rid of
your ass. I voted libertarian. I'm all about letting everybody do their worlds. But what I found out, too, is that when you back off from all that stuff, when you don't have a say in it, when you just say, hey, we're not worried about that, then those other powers are going to step out, and they're going to do that. And, you know, I'd rather be the good guy walking in there saying, you know, everybody sit down, behave, or, you know, we're going to take over. Because that's what happened.
I don't think are any good guys. I don't think nation states can be good guys. I think nation states always move at their own interests. That's just what it is.
That's fine too. I'm all okay with moving in my interest, which my interest was everybody making money.
Now the question is, are the DOD aims in the interest of American people, or are they the DOD's interests? Whose interests are we talking about?
Well, that's a good question. The people who fund
both parties and control both parties. Or the average regular citizen who works 40 hours a week.
And most Republicans were asking, you know, what is the FBI's interest when they were investigating a lot of stuff? Are they investigating an FBI's interest or the American people's interest? Because a lot of the
always
stuff they
a
were
good question.
Yeah,
yeah, always a good
I
question
agree with
for
that.
Them because they got a history. They got a history of doing some nefarious things.
I think the biggest thing that a lot of people with your point of view, I think a lot of people you don't see it. I see it a lot, but you go to a lot of the like conservative radio commentators out there, the people that do internet shows on YouTube and all that. They ask tons of questions. The politicians don't. Politicians don't want to do anything. But man, they're like, what's the FBI doing? What's the CIA doing? What's the NSA and all? I mean, like Republicans hate those organizations. I think the DEA.
Yeah. The DNC is no different. So the DNC and the RNC, ultimately, they do not like educated voters. They don't like people who ask questions. And they don't like people who want actual policy from them instead of culture war BS. They want to sell you culture war BS, have you vote for them, and then go home and shut up. Now, if you start bringing up actual legislation, that's when you become a problem. So, like right now, The Republicans spend just as much as the Democrats. So you're not actually doing anything with spending by getting a Republican in office. They got the same spending habits as they do. Ain't no difference there. Now, you say you voted Green Party. Okay, I voted Workers' World Party. I voted Green Party. I voted everything but the two major two. Why? Because ever since I was like 24, 25, I was like, man, I'm not doing this anymore. So I just always vote for people who gonna lose.
I remember when Mitt Romney actually killed Obama in the first debate. I mean, Mitt Romney had a good night, and it was great. Mm-hmm. And Obama really didn't have anything to say about what he said and everything. In the second debate, Romney just flipped over and just let him walk all over him. The third debate.
Barack Obama's a pretty good speaker, man. So you go win the next one.
Well, but I'm saying he totally just flopped it out, just like with that one. I forgot what it was, but anyway, it was just not a good night.
The Russia thing. No, he had a good point on the Russia thing. I was worried about Russia doing stuff. Oh, you're worried about some old stuff. Next thing you know, Putin was in Crimea and Georgia. So, he was right on that. But why would you run a billionaire during a recession? That was one of the worst political mismanagement issues I've ever seen. Mitt Romney was a bad candidate then, and he's a bad one now.
Well, one of my biggest guys that I listen to on the internet, he does it's Ben Shapiro, and he was hilarious because he said the Democrats called him a racist, they called him a womanizer. He was the most boring candidate the Republicans had ever had. like he was boring, and he was like you say, nobody liked him because he was a billionaire, and all that. I said it all the time about Donald Trump. If I knew the guy, I would hate his guts because he's an asshole. that's the thing is that the Republicans, when they ran Mitt Romney and I said, I'll never vote for that. That's like, I've,
it was a huge mistake, man.
Yeah, big disappointment and all that. And then this time around,
had a dancing horse that she ran in the Olympics. Like, just uncontrolled wealth, and you're going to run that during a recession when people were hurting? Remember, Obama's up there, well, we're going to do another stimulus package. He's trying to do everything he can to try to get past the recession because the recession was killing him, and he was vulnerable, but they sent up Mitt Romney.
Yep. No, I tell you, I'll say this to my dying day. Barack Obama, one of the best politicians in world history. I mean, he was good, a good speaker, good talker. You know, listen here. You know, he always sitting in, and that he was just great. He's awesome. You know, I think they found another guy.
But the Republicans made the fatal flaw, though. Instead of addressing him as he actually was, which was a Wall Street friendly, big banker, big corporate friendly guy, they presented him as a socialist, communist, da da da. Like, dude, he don't give a damn about no socialist, communist, anything. He'll run you over trying to help a banker from Wall Street.
That's what I think.
I think
the biggest problems that the Republicans do is they call the Democrats socialists. They want socialism and all that. And I said, no, they want money just as much.
Yeah.
Probably, you know,
corporate greedy money.
Oh yeah. I totally agree with that. It's hilarious, man. I tell you what, I love it, and I think it's more funny than it is sad, and I guess because it's funny, it's sad, you know.
Exactly. So, well, I know you got a show to do, but look, I see the name of the show, so I'm gonna try to call in next time, man, and catch you guys and talk with you guys, man.
That's awesome, bud. Appreciate you.
All right, man. You have a good one, dude. And
you
what's
too,
the
bud.
Name
have a good
again
night.
for the song? Yep. What's the dude's name?
Alan Jackson. Yep,
and
it's where
title
I come
was?
From. Where I come from.
All right. Yep. I'm gonna find that thing. All right, man.
All right, good deal, bud.
All right.
Have a good one now. Bye.
You too.
Good deal. Let's get things rolling here. There you go. So Alan said we ran over time about 10 minutes, but that's fine. That's good. Always got good conversations. Love it. Next time we'll get started early. So, check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget one of our great sponsors, and that's Trucker Tools, truckertools.com. This is everything trucking and then some. And give us a holler, 515-602-9731. Go check us out at redneckandeyes.com, where you can find links to all of our social media accounts. We're also on YouTube Live. Go check us out. Go subscribe. We've got great videos on there. Check it out. So until next time, you guys have a great night. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio. We'll see you then.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and Eyes.